Title of the message today is Living as Sheep in the Midst of Wolves. And the last series there, we talked about the fact that Jesus wanted us to pray for laborers, but he also wanted us to be willing to be one of those laborers. But then he pulls this on us and he goes, by the way, when you go, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Just wanted you to know that, okay? And so this is really based on what the command that he gave his disciples in light of the fact that you're going out there among the wolves. I need you to be as wise as a serpent, right? Now, he takes it beyond that and he says, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, or innocent as a dove. But let's go ahead and, you know, take a look at what he said there. And we'll take a little time today before I can let you go. But I remember I started to call this Winnem, not Venom. And there's a reason for that. And we'll talk about that as we get a little further along. But Jesus has something for us to do, and what he has for us to do is not natural. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, it ain't natural. Anything Jesus tells us to do, it's not natural. He's not asking us to do it in our own strength or our own giftings. He didn't pick you to do what he picked you to do because you were so good at it. I want you to understand that. He didn't pick me to do what I do because he thought I was wonderful at it. In fact, one of the most liberating things I ever found out about myself was God's not impressed with me. You know, because I use that as an excuse constantly to whine and you know, why'd you call me to do this? God, there's nothing impressive about me. And he says, that's exactly right. I'm not impressed with you at all. That's why I called you. Because he gets the glory, right? And so what we find here is that Jesus had something for his people to do. He did not just want them to know him. He wanted to use them to help other people know him. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 22, I actually spent quite a bit of time last week going through this and stopping and commenting and all. We're not going to do that today, but let's go ahead, and because it's our base scripture, we're going to go ahead and read it. He says, behold, everybody say, behold. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent or harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. They will deliver you over. Do not be anxious about how you're to speak or what you're to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures will be saved. Again, I said last week as we wrapped up the service, typically, I don't know any preachers who read this scripture and then do an altar call. Okay, so who wants to serve Jesus now? You know, who wants to give their life to Jesus, right? For the most part, this goes so diametrically opposed to what we want for our lives, because what we want is to be comfortable. We want to experience blessings and peace and pleasure and just, you know, we want to have a wonderful life. I mean, that's just the way it is. We want to have a wonderful life. I'm going to just, you know, take a poll here. How many of you want to live a miserable life? Anybody? Anybody in the room? Anybody in the room want to be persecuted? You just want to be persecuted? No, because it's not natural, right? So he's called us to live a supernatural life, not a natural life. Now, you're going to have, understand, some people are going to love you. But you also need to understand some people are going to hate you. And what makes it hard is it's the people you want to love you the most sometimes are the ones who hate you. That's what makes it really painful. And so he tells them, look, I'm sending you out. But then he says, but understand, because I don't want you to be blindsided by this. I don't want you to get disoriented when this happens. But I'm sending you out among wolves. Now, let me say this, that there are five things that Jesus said to do in those verses that we read. And the first one is the only one we're going to be able to cover today. The first one is found in one word. It's the word behold. Behold. What does that mean? It's the Greek word idu. And it means to pay special attention to what is about to be said. Now, Jesus said, pay special attention. You know why? Because he wanted them to pay special attention. Because how many of you know that sometimes you can be hearing something and it just either go completely over your head or it can go in one ear and out the other, right? And he's letting them know, I need you to pay special attention to what I'm about to tell you, because you're going to need to remember what I told you here. Listen, we need to know that it's not always going to be easy. In fact, when we're really doing what God has called us to do, you got to know that it really is like being a sheep in the midst of wolves. He first says that he's sending his disciples in this really uncomfortable position of being sheep in the midst of wolves. And I want you to understand that it is consistent with the nature of wolves to attack flocks of sheep. How many of you would agree? That's consistent with nature. What is natural? Wolves love to eat the sheep, but it is not consistent with nature that sheep go walking into a wolf's den. That's not natural. And yet, you know, how many of you have ever said, Lord, I want to live a supernatural life? Well, there you go. It ain't natural for you to go put yourself in the middle of a bunch of wolves. It's supernatural. Now, understand, that's why it's so important that we're led by the Holy Spirit. Because where he leads us, he's going to take care of what needs to be taken care of. I'm not saying just go do something in the flesh, go get some wild hair and go put yourself in the most dangerous place you can, you know, and say, well, I'm just doing what the preacher told me to do. Well, no, what the preacher's telling you to do is you better listen to the Holy Spirit and be willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Be sent by Jesus wherever he tells you to go and know that he's got a purpose. Now, we understand that, listen, he never promised that it would be easy. He never told us that. What he did say was that in this world, you will have trouble. That word trouble means extreme pressure. You will have that. There's no question about it. Okay. Be aware that when you got saved, it wasn't because Jesus came into your life to make your life better and to make you comfortable all the time. When you got saved, it was because he is putting a commission upon your life to let you live a supernatural life that serves a supernatural purpose. And so most people are not willing to get uncomfortable. Most people are not willing to get out of what they want. Most people, even though they call themselves Christians, stay firmly in control of their life and their decisions. Most people. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you're not most people. So all along, Jesus has promised his disciples that their lives would have hardship. They would be suffering. In fact, most of them literally became martyrs for the gospel. All of them would have become martyrs except that John wouldn't boil. They tried to boil him in oil. He wouldn't boil, right? God had something else for him to do. So then they took him and they stuck him in this prison island called Patmos. And God said, all right, now that I got you by yourself undistracted, I'm going to give you a revelation. And now we have what's called the book of Revelation. Okay. So again, that couldn't have been fun for him. Right? Understand, sheep also have no defense against wolves except for running away. And how many of you know sheep are not real good at running? How many of you know wolves are very good at running? Right? So as far as a natural defense, all they can do is try to run away. But there is one other thing they can do. They can call out for the shepherd. And thank God we have a good shepherd. And so, and listen, again, for the Christian, understand, death has no power over us. Even if we die, even if our spirit is separated from this body, we win. We can't lose. Amen. We can't. And so the sheep can call out to the shepherd. Now, how many of you know Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. But there's another side of that. The shepherd also knows the voice of the sheep. So a defenseless sheep in the midst of a pack of wolves pretty much would stand no chance of survival without the faithful protection of a courageous shepherd. Listen, it is that sense of helplessness and dependence, just like a sheep. And that's what he's trying to get you to see. I want you to be totally dependent upon me. For what I need you to do, you're going to be like a sheep in the midst of wolves. Don't you even think about depending on your own gifts and talents and abilities and thinking. I want you to do something that you are absolutely going to need me to do. I like what Pastor Mike Mele says. He says, God wants to do things in and through your life. Your brain's going to be mad at you for 6 months because it didn't think of it. God wants us to be in that place of helplessness in the sense of that we have to have him. God does not tell us to do things that he expects us to do by ourselves. Never. If God puts us on a mission, listen, you can take it to the bank that in doing that mission, I cannot do it without him intervening, without his power, without his direction and his wisdom. So maybe you remember that God gave Gideon this formidable challenge of liberating the Israelites from the great might of the Midianites. And the Midianites was this huge army. And when he sent to him the angel to speak to Gideon, this is what it said in Judges 6:14. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Notice what he said. Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? And Gideon's response, because he missed something there. Gideon's response in verse 15, he says, and he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And then the Lord says in verse 16, and the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Again, God purposely goes to the youngest one in the smallest clan, the weakest bunch out of the whole group of Israelites, and he goes, you're going to be the one that delivers Israel. You're going to be the one. Why? Because I know you can't be the one without me. You know, I get great comfort in that. I was the baby of my family, right? I get great comfort in that. So Judges 6:16 lets us know, though, that God says, you're missing something. I'm going to be with you. He says, go in the might that you have. The problem was he didn't understand that the might that he had was God himself. He didn't understand it. It's like I remember years ago, I told the story about the little boy in a sandbox, and he's trying to move a big rock out of a sandbox, and he's having a hard time with it, and he kind of pinched his finger, and the daddy's looking at him, and the little boy's crying, and he's saying, I can't do it, I can't do it. And his daddy said, well, you're not using all of your strength. He says, I am. I'm using all of my strength, and I can't move this rock out of this sandbox. And his daddy said, no, you're not using all of your strength. You haven't asked me for help. And then, of course, Dad goes out there and he just throws the rock out of the sandbox. He said, you weren't using all of your strength. You just didn't know the strength you had. And sometimes we're the same way with God. So, again, sometimes in kingdom work, this is so important to get. Sometimes in kingdom work, thinking that you were unqualified is at least partially what actually qualifies you. Let that sink in. Feeling unqualified many times is what actually qualifies you. Now, there's another side of that. The flip side is that if you think you're qualified, that's probably at least partially a reason that you're not qualified. You understand? Because if you think you're qualified, you're going to rush in without the help that you need. If you think you're qualified, if you think it's your gifts, your ability, if you think it's because you're so wonderful that you can get this done and that God chose you, then you pretty much are going to disqualify yourself. So I always tell people when they say something about, you know, man, I want to be a pastor. I want to stand before people and preach, and I want to do this. And what do I need to do to be a pastor? And I tell them, first of all, you need to die. You need to die to yourself. Second of all, you probably need to go see a shrink. And third, you need to know your Bible at the very least, right? But here's the thing. I didn't do what I do because I felt qualified. God picked me because he knew I wasn't qualified and because I knew I wasn't qualified. And it's the same with anything that God wants us to do. I'm using me as an example. Listen, I'm not an extremely gifted person. I mean, I have some abilities and gifts and so on. But what I considered to be my greatest gift, God says, nah, that's not even what I want you to do. I thought if I was going to do anything for God, it was just going to be play music for Jesus all the rest of my life. That's where I thought I was really gifted, and I hardly ever even pick up a guitar. So my point is this: don't think that because you feel disqualified that you really are disqualified. No, that's a good sign if you feel disqualified or unqualified. So again, if you think you're qualified, what's going to happen is you're going to think that you actually deserve at least some of the glory, when the truth is, God's supposed to get all of the glory. And can I tell you, I can warn you, when you do get to obeying God and doing what He wants you to do, if you get to a point where you get to feeling really good about yourself and thinking that you're Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful, God will allow you to be humbled.
Right.
He will. And ask me how I know. So I'll never forget, and we're coming to a landing here, I'll never forget sitting with really one of my favorite professors in college, at the Bible college we went to. This man, I had never met a man so wise. Now, I grew up under a very wise pastor who knew the word and just, you know, had a lot of wisdom. But Brother Van was just, on a different level than I had seen in his biblical knowledge and knowledge of things that many would not know. I mean, just wisdom just oozed out of this man. And I'll never forget sitting with him one day, talking. I felt very privileged that he would take the time to just sit and talk with me on a personal level. And, you know, he told me a lot of things that were a real blessing to me. He had great wisdom. But I'll never forget him saying this. He said, "I have never felt qualified to do anything God told me to do." Can I tell you, that set me free. Because I thought, wow. If that man, who I think is the wisest man I've ever met in my life, feels unqualified to do what God called him to do, then okay, maybe God can use me. And we all need to understand that. So listen, if you feel qualified, it's a problem. God don't want you to wait till you feel qualified to do it. He just wants you to trust him when he says to do it. That's when you see the supernatural. I love what a guy named Bob Pierce taught. He's the one that started World Vision. And I used to talk about this all the time. But he said, the principle I live by is a principle called God room. That if God tells me to do something, he's going to bring me all the way to the end of my natural ability with all my talents, gifts, abilities, treasures, everything. And anytime he tells me to do something, he's always going to leave room for himself to do it. He wants to bring me to the end of my ability, but understand that it ain't going to happen if we don't leave room for God. Anything God tells us to do, he wants to leave space for himself to make it happen. And so don't get discouraged when you say, "I don't know what else to do. I've done everything I can do." That's a good place to be. Now it's God's turn. All right. God doesn't usually tell us again to do anything that will not require his help. He told them, behold, understand, remember what I'm telling you today. Behold, it's not going to be easy on your flesh, but it's going to be amazing. It'll be worth it. I believe that God is doing something. I had a young man who just recently surrendered his life to Christ. In the first service, he was telling me, he goes, "Man, he and his wife are so excited. They're taking our infusion course, and they're doing it online and stuff, and they're so excited. And they both just got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he and his wife, and they're so excited." And he goes, "Man," he goes, God's doing something. This is incredible." He said the other day, he goes, "When the guy on the platform said something about, I hear God saying," somebody was having some kind of an issue. I forget what the issue was. He goes, "God had just spoke that to me. That never happened before. And then I hear it, and then that man says it up there." He goes, "Man, this is crazy. This is so awesome." And he's so excited, right, serving the Lord. And he tells me this morning, he goes, "Man, something amazing is about to happen in this church. I can just feel it." Well, let me tell you what the amazing thing is. People are getting in their calling. People are recognizing the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in them. People are understanding that we're not called to just come and survive and breathe and eat some food and experience some pleasures and die and have people lie about us at our funeral telling people how wonderful we were. No, we have purpose. Amen. And I believe this church is finding her purpose. Amen. Why don't we just all just lift your hands to the Lord this morning. And Father, I just thank you for people who love you and who want to serve you. I thank you, God, that they are very, very loved by you. But Lord, there's not a person in this room Lord, who you can't use. There's not a person in this room who is in a place that you cannot use them wherever they are. And Lord, that may look different for every person. But Lord, I thank you that your anointing is upon your children. Lord, I thank you that for those who say yes to you, God, they will see the supernatural and the miraculous. And Lord, even though they may be like sheep in the midst of wolves, God, I thank you that they'll be able to get some of those wolves converted into sheep. I thank you, Father God, that you will be with them wherever they go. Lord, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's on the job, or whether it's with family, wherever, God, on vacation, wherever they are, God, I thank you that you will go with them because you have a purpose and a mission for them. And Lord, I thank you that they got power in their hands, Lord, to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and heal incurable diseases. And I thank you that they have truth upon their lips that can cause men to be free, that can change people's destiny from an eternal hell to an eternal heaven. And Father, I thank you for raising these people up. I pray, fill them again. Baptize them with your Holy Spirit. Saturate them, God, with your presence. Put your heart in their heart, Father. Give us your wisdom. May we see things the way you see it. Oh God, make our life count for something. Spend us for your glory, God. We thank you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout a big amen.
Amen.
Amen.